Word. Thank you for the truth in a world that's filled with half-truths and fake news and lies. Thank you that you've given us the truth of your word. We do lift up the folks out at the stagecoach, those that don't know you, Lord. Somehow, some way, reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. We also pray for the White Party in Palm Springs, God, that you would reach out and touch the men and women out there this weekend, that you'd save their souls. Thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy. Thank you for your word this morning, that we still have the freedom in the United States of America to carry Bibles, to read our Bibles, and to preach the good news of Jesus Christ from the pulpits in America today. May we never take that for granted. We love you, Lord, and we invite you to be the guest of honor here this morning and pray that you, the Good Shepherd, would feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've been doing in the revelation of Jesus Christ, I'd like to give an introduction. Because if we were to go straight to chapter 13, people would be going, what's with all the leopards and the lions and the bears? Sounds like Dorothy on The Wizard of Oz. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my! And I think it's important to have a bit of an introduction to kind of bring you up to speed to where we are. And it's not by coincidence that John, when he's caught up into heaven, he sees a leopard, sees a bear, and sees a lion. Because I'm sure John had read the book of Daniel chapter 7, and we see those same creatures there. They are prophetic. And with what John is going to share with us here this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit, this is prophecy that will be fulfilled future. Of course, the church will not be here. The harpazo, the rapture of the church, takes place just before the 7 years of tribulation. You know, oftentimes I hear people say, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. And it's wonderful that in God's word, he shows us what we've been saved from. Sometimes we forget. And there's some people that are believers that don't even recognize or realize what we have been saved from. The tribulation period. I can't even imagine, from what I read in Scripture, what is going to take place while we are at the wedding supper of the Lamb. I would not want my worst enemy to still be here on earth. That's why I just deliver the mail. It's not up to me where it goes or who it touches or who receives Christ. I'm just the mailman. It's up to you out there and those of you watching and those that are in churches today throughout the world, throughout America, with what you do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants to save your souls from hell and eternal damnation in the lake of fire. That's the truth of God's word. And we're getting really, really close. As we've seen in the book of Revelation, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, a lot of the things that were future are here. A lot of the things that I have preached for years, we're right there, right now. And one of those things is the great falling away. There's a falling away from the faith of many people today. And it breaks my heart. And so this morning, again, with open Bibles and open hearts, I'll give you a bit of an introduction, then we'll get into chapter 13 this morning. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, just to begin the introduction, Jesus, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, he who lives and was dead, he's now resurrected, seated at the right hand of the Father, and who is alive forevermore, who has the keys to Hades and death, tells the Apostle John to write. Get out your pen and write, John. The things that John had seen, the things which are in that time in which John lived, and the things which will take place after this. And so up to this point, John has written the things which he has seen, the things that are, and now John is in the middle, John is now in the Spirit in heaven, and he's writing to us, the church, the body of Christ, those things which will take place upon the earth. Future things that are going to take place during the great tribulation period. How close are we? I don't know. No man knows the day or the hour. But you know what? The Bible tells us that we can sense it by the season in which we live. The fig tree Israel is getting ripe. She's surrounded by her enemies. Magog and Gog, Soviet Union, are now beginning an assault. And it's not just the Ukraine. They have Israel in their sights. And Israel is surrounded by her enemies. We know the rest of the story, what is going to take place. The all-important thing is that we're ready. Are you ready? I hope we all are. Because the enemy, the god of this world, small g, Satan, will use all of the things in this world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, all these things to distract us and get our eyes off of Jesus and onto the things of this world. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus as we sing in the old hymn. I think it's so, so important that we're ready. So now John's in the Spirit writing these things that are going to take place after the church has been taken up into heaven. And again, what have you been saved from? We need to know what we've been saved from. Up to this point, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation have already taken place. And now the second half of the tribulation period, 3.5 years, is what we're going to see through the rest of the book. We've seen 7 seals of judgment: war, famine, widespread death, martyrdom, and cosmic disturbances. These are things which are to come very soon, followed by the 7 trumpet judgments. These things are going to come as well. Vegetation being destroyed, 1/3 of the seas becoming bled, lakes and rivers struck with wormwood, bitterness, the sun, the moon, the stars being struck, locusts coming up from the bottomless pit, and 1/3 of mankind killed. Do you really want to hang around for this? I don't think so. And the challenge is always, where do you stand with Jesus Christ? Is he your personal Lord and Savior? This is not just a religion. God sent his son into this world so that he could have a personal relationship with you and I. And so with the sounding of the 7th trumpet, voices from heaven with a shout we saw. And now the last 3.5 years of tribulation will take place as the final war breaks out in heaven. Satan is cast down to the earth. He's alive and well today, folks. And you know what blows me away? There's many people that go to church and say that they're Christians and all that don't believe that a devil exists. Grandma, what big eyes you have. He's alive and well today, along with 1/3 of the heavenly hosts that were cast out of heaven with him. Demons. That's where this spiritual warfare is coming from. Have you noticed what's happened over the past couple of years in America? Just the filth and the perversion that is getting a grip on our nation. I don't have time to lay out a list, but you've seen it. You know what's going on in America. We've taken God's word, God's pure holy word, and perverted it. We've changed God's laws. My Bible tells me every word of the Lord is pure. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We need God's word like never before, and how sad it is people are perverting it and twisting it and changing it. I call people that twist the word of God twistians. You're not a Christian, you're a twistian. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because not many should preach the word of God, because you will receive stricter judgment. And so Satan is cast down to the earth. Persecution breaks out against Israel and the inhabitants of the earth. We're close. For the devil has come down, knowing his time is short. We saw in chapter 12, verse 12. Time is running out for the enemy. It is then that God gives Israel eagle's wings, as we saw last week, that she might flee to the wilderness from the presence of the old serpent himself. I believe that is Petra. I believe it's already prepared for the Jews when they flee. And so this morning in chapter 13, we're introduced to Satan's 2 evil accomplices: the beast out of the sea, verses 1 to 10, and the beast out of the earth, verses 11 to 18. Together, the three of them form a counterfeit and unholy trinity. Isn't it amazing how the devil counterfeits everything that God does? An unholy trinity in direct opposition to the holy trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The unholy trinity will be the beast out of the sea, who is Antichrist. The beast out of the earth, who is the false prophet. And of course, Satan, who opposes God, who hates God, and whose desire is to rule the world. As all of them will try to work together to capture the whole earth. Yet as we know, their efforts are doomed to failure. Aren't you grateful that we know the rest of the story? So let's look at the beast from the sea, if you would, verses 1 to 10. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Like I said, right out of Daniel chapter 7. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. I'm just going to pause for a second here. My heart is broken that on the way out here on the 10 freeway, on the right-hand side, there is a billboard with Jesus and tequila on the billboard. You tell me, is that not blasphemy? And it's right there in public. You turn on the television set, they blaspheme, they curse the name of Jesus Christ. Sad, that's where we are today. I'll move on. Then he opened his mouth, verse 6, in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world, from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience or the perseverance and the faith of the saints. So let's look at the first verse. The beast. Again, John is writing with what he sees symbolically. And I'm sure that these things are flashing in his mind from the book of Daniel, chapter 7. The beast, symbolically, is standing up upon the sea, which is the Gentile nations, according to chapter 11, verse 15. Symbolically, the sea speaks of the Gentile nations. This speaks of the revived Roman Empire. Interesting. And again, this is confirmed all through God's word. Antichrist, Satan's false Messiah, will rule over these 10 European nations. 10 horns, that's where the 10 horns are from. The 10 European nations. And look what's going on in Europe right now. They formed a European Union. Daniel 7:24 predicted that the 10-nation Roman Empire would be revived. It would be resurrected. And that's exactly what we see here. The 7 heads, according to Revelation 17:9, represent 7 mountains. And it's not by coincidence, folks, that there are seven mountains in Rome. Hello. A city which is on seven hills. Isn't God's word incredible? In the middle of the seven-year period, which is where we are now in Scripture, he will set himself up in the temple. And again, as I've shared over the past few months, even years, if you would, Israel is getting ready to rebuild the third temple. Hello? And guess who's going to occupy that third temple? Yeah, Antichrist. He will set himself up in the temple as God, as we again see in Daniel 9:27. Also, New Testament, I was just looking at it this morning while I was sitting out there, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-12. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. It confirms everything absolutely perfectly. And if you have a question about something, like someone was asking me about the animals we see in the first section here, I often challenge them, read the Scripture, go and read Daniel. Read 2 Thessalonians. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Take his word for it. That's the bottom line. So that we know the truth of God's word absolutely perfectly. The Antichrist is under the control of Satan. He is energized from hell, to put it plainly. As we see, he comes up out of the pit. Verse 2 again. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon, which is Satan, gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And so here we see three animals that are in Daniel chapter 7. And again, at home, I was reading this morning again just to refresh my memory. The leopard symbolically represents the Grecian Empire. Hello. The bear is Medo-Persia. And the lion is a picture of Babylon, which points to the final world empire being rooted in all of the previous evil empires. Satan never gives up. He never quits. They're all united together, all under Satan's power and authority. Wow. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war against him?" Isn't this incredible? Again, we see the counterfeit, as he is the father of the lie. Satan is the father of the lie, the Bible says, and there is no truth in him. And you know, with all the fake news and all the lies and all the things that I hear on the news and hear from various things from the news, I think, boy, these things are coming from their father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Satan is the father of the lie. Where are all these lies coming from that are deceiving people? Right out of the pit of hell. We see Satan's counterfeit, father of the lie. Because this beast, the Antichrist, the false Messiah, is going to stage a false resurrection. Notice he says he was mortally wounded, but he was alive again. Gee, what does that remind you of? Yeah. The beast is a counterfeit. He's going to stage a false resurrection. People will follow and worship him. How sad. The scripture after scripture, prophecy after prophecy has been fulfilled in the birth and the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But how many people today really believe in it? They would be more willing to believe in the beast. How sad. How sad. Breaks my heart. that they would follow and worship him. According to Revelation 13, 7 and 8 in our chapter here this morning, he's going to unite the world. Yeah, for a period of time. People will be impressed by his power. They will marvel. And again, look at the things that Jesus Christ did in his 33 years here on earth. Nothing short of incredible. Made the blind to see, not only physically, but spiritually. Every one of us in this room that's born again can now see. We have eyes to see. He made the lame to walk. Hello. My walk is different than it used to be. I used to be pretty lame. Still close. But he multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Over and over, miracle after miracle after miracle, but yet people refuse to believe. Those who follow and worship the Antichrist are deceived by Satan. Many will be deceived. Many are deceived today. Just look at what we see on our television sets, in our living room. Man, some of the commercials are just right out of the pit of hell. Satanic, creepy. And then there's the other filthy ones that we have to, you know, sit in our chairs in the living room with the channel changer because the minute they come on, you got to switch those stupid things off. Aren't you blown away at what you're seeing on television these days? Wow. One of these days you're going to hear, Pastor Joe pulled out his shotgun and blew the TV right out of his living room. Man. I'm getting close. Pray for me. Many will be deceived. Many will be misled by false miracles or someone claiming to be the Messiah. And it's coming. But like I said, praise God, we won't be here. But in the meantime, the reason God shows us these things, number one, to show us we've been saved from, and also so that we would sense the urgency for others that don't know Christ that would come to Jesus. They need Jesus right now. No man knows the day or the hour. Who's to say I'm going to even finish this message this morning? And if you're still here when the trumpet sounds, you can read the rest of my notes. How sad it would be for a pastor when the rapture happens to still be in the pulpit. That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. And for people to still be sitting in the sanctuary. But you know what? There's going to be tons of them. And how sad it is, many people today are misled. False prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, false miracles, and it's going to happen. Verses 5 to 7 again. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. That's the second part of the tribulation period, 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Whoa. The beast, proud and blasphemous. The beast utters unspeakable blasphemies. So twisted and so perverse, you can't put them in God's pure word, God's Bible. The beast makes war with the saints to try to overcome them. But you know what? It's better for those at that particular time to lose their lives for Jesus Christ than to submit to Satan. Why? Because when we're absent from this body, we're going to be present with the Lord. There will be those that will be saved during the tribulation period. We've talked about that over the past few weeks. But why wait? Why wait till literally all hell breaks loose with the signs and the judgments and the bowls and the seals and all that we've seen? Why wait till then? Now, Satan's rule is worldwide. Just look what's going on around the world. He can't touch the believers spiritually, but there may be those that will be martyred. Everyone worships him except for the true believers. That's important as well. There will be people that will be saved. Refusal to worship the beast results in only temporal suffering. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We're going to go through some difficult times. Yes, we will suffer. We're not exempt from suffering. But for the world, for the believer, our suffering is temporal. For the world, those without Jesus Christ, their suffering is eternal. And I can't even fathom what that means. I read about it, but I can't even comprehend what that's going to mean. The people would be burning in hell in the lake of fire, suffering for all eternity. And nobody's going to pay or pray their way out of purgatory. There's no such thing as purgatory. Hebrews chapter 1 says that Jesus Christ purged us from all of our sins. There's no balance due, my friend. That's false doctrine. And guess what? It's coming out of Rome. Hello. Seven hills. How sad it is that the Roman church has even changed the second commandment, which talks about not worshiping graven images. They've changed that. That's why they worship statues and Mary and every other thing. It's too late for me to be pulling punches. I'll speak the truth in love. You need to read your Bible. And most, and again, I'm not bashing Catholics, but there's a lot of people that were into Catholicism in this sanctuary and in the church that have told me, we never opened the Bible. We've got to read God's word. We need to study God's word. Verses 8 and 9. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Did you ever think about this? Right now, if you are a believer, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. Wow. Not only that, the Bible tells us that our names are written on the palms of his hands. And also that our names are written on his heart. That's how much he loves you. He adores you. He came into this world to pay the price that we could never pay. He died a brutal death on the cross so that we might have our names in the Lamb's book of life on the palms of his hands and written on his heart. Wow. Not so for the unbeliever. John just lays it right out here, doesn't he? All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain. Wow. For the unbeliever, for the make-believer who believed the lie, death and hell with Satan and his angels awaits them. Verse 9 again. He who has ears, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Are we listening this morning? Do you get it? Are you examining your heart? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need him today. You need to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That's God's incredible plan of salvation. It's not filled with a whole bunch of do's and don'ts, except for one. You either do or you don't believe upon Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We can't clean up our act to get saved. There ain't a person here that cleaned up their act enough to be saved. God takes you just as you are, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. He loves you right where you are. And when you give your life to him, the person of the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and all things become new. Things begin to change. I'm just sharing with a lady here this morning how it's been 40 years since I've been an alcoholic. I don't have to say, hi, I'm Joe. It's not a program. Drunkenness, alcoholism is a sin. And once you take responsibility for your sin and give it to Jesus Christ, he nails it to the cross, guess what? You're set free. The Bible says he who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's not about a program. It's about a person, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Do you hear what he's saying this morning? Verse 10. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the perseverance or the patience and the faith of the saints. So true, he lays it out there. You know, those who lead into captivity shall go into captivity. Those who kill with the sword will be killed with the sword. God makes it very clear. And God knows. God keeps really good records. Now, in verses 11 to 18, we have another prominent figure, part of the unholy Trinity in the tribulation period. This is the one known as the false prophet. How do I know that? Chapter 16, verse 13, chapter 19, verse 20, chapter 20, verse 10 confirm it. Again, best comedy or comedy? Best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Oh, my. And he exercises all authority of the first beast in the presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. This guy's a worship leader. Duh. Whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one, how much is no one? No one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Boy, again, how close are we? Got some rich stuff here. The first beast, Antichrist, come out of the sea. The second beast comes out of the earth. He is later identified as part of the unholy Trinity. He is known as the false prophet. Whoa. He works in a close cooperation with the first beast, Antichrist, promoting the worship of Antichrist. False prophet, false religion, worship the beast. Again, Satan's counterfeit. Amazing. He has two horns like a lamb. Hello. Appearing gentle and harmless, but he's only impersonating the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He speaks like the dragon. He speaks like the devil. He is directly inspired. He is directly empowered by Satan. There's some heavy stuff here today. Again, 12 to 14. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Wow. So notice what we see here. The false prophet exercises all authority, all the authority of Antichrist, the first beast. He being the false prophet, is also a worship leader, leading them to worship the first beast, Antichrist. The Bible very clearly says, those who worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. How many people today are buying the lie? You'll never see a disco ball in this fellowship. Light show, smoke, that's all coming, but we won't be here. We must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Here's the truth. That's why we spend a majority of our time in the service in God's Word, so that we would know the truth, so that we don't buy the lie. False prophet is a worship leader. He causes all the earth to worship Antichrist. Isn't that heavy? Heavy stuff. He performs great signs, even calling fire down from heaven. Even telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the Antichrist, the beast. We are not. We are to never, ever, ever, ever worship an image. Read Psalm 115. Where people are worshiping false gods who have eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, mouths that can't speak. The Bible says those who worship them are just like them, stupid. We must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Look what we see today. Crazy. A circus in many places. There's a video online where you can see a pastor ziplining into the sanctuary. I don't want to zip in, folks. I want to zip out. I want to go to heaven. Crazy stuff. Who's getting the attention? That's the bottom line. Who is getting the attention in the service? Are we drawing attention to ourselves, trying to be cool, be a hipster, celebrity, big name? The biggest name in this fellowship is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Period. Period. And the day it's not, I would pray that God would strike me dead. That's how I feel about Jesus Christ and His Word. We need the truth today like never before. Great signs, fire down from heaven. Ooh, wasn't that a great service today? You got to replace the chairs because they're all burnt. No. All through the Bible, we see miracles performed as proof of God's power and His love and His authority. He shows us what is from Him. But here we see counterfeit miracles used to deceive. Are miracles, if you ever see any, I've seen some miraculous things. Honestly, I'm not going to lay them out before you. I don't go looking for miracles. But you know what I believe in my heart is the greatest miracle of all? When a person comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and they're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. To me, that's one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen. That's the greatest miracle I think can ever happen on this earth is people get saved and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Are miracles consistent with God and His Word? You need to ask. You need to examine everything in the light of God's Word. Why? Because, again, the counterfeit is out there. God's Word clearly says in Exodus 20, verse 4 through 6, you shall not worship any graven images. Our faith and our worship must be directed by God's Word. That's so important. The Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Any teaching or any worship that contradicts God's Word is straight from the pit of hell. We need to make sure everything lines up with God's Word, with God's truth. I did a word study last week, just a precious word study, just between me and the Lord, on what the Word says about the Word. Incredible what He says about this incredible book called the Bible. Every word of the Lord is pure. Every word of the Lord is pure. Wow. Do you know that there's no cuss words in Hebrew? They have to go to English to get some of the filthy language in our world today. Yeah, every word of the Lord is pure. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19. God's word is perfect. God's word converts the soul. Why would we want to give people anything else? We want their souls to be converted. We want their souls to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Our faith and our worship must be directed by God's word. Any teaching, any worship that contradicts this precious book called the Bible is right out of the pit of hell. Verse 15, we'll wind it down. Wow. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. It was Corey or somebody pulled up an article this week of this image that they're taking around the world, this big image, and they're causing it to speak. Signs and wonders and all this stuff. Folks, how close are we? Soon coming to your town, the beast. And there's a lot of people that will go after it, follow after it. The latest thing. We need to be very, very careful. Notice, continuing on. He causes all, both small and rich, or small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Been a believer 40 years or so. It blows me away how many people that I've met over the years say, I know who Antichrist is. And they've named politicians, and they've named leaders from all over the world. A lot of them are dead and gone now. It's like, come on. When Scripture's silent, Chuck Smith taught us, we need to be silent. And here we see Satan actually gives power to the image of this beast to speak. When he takes his place, this beast, in the temple. This is called the abomination of desolation. The penalty for not worshiping this beast says right here, death. Whoa. Jesus came to give us life. The beast came to bring death. Another counterfeit from Satan is a mark, it says here. The mark of the beast, which is a counterfeit of God's seal and his people. Again, look how Satan counterfeits things. God sealed 144,000 Jews for the tribulation period with the person of the Holy Spirit. When you and I get saved, according to the book of Ephesians, we are sealed by the person of the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. We have his seal not only upon us, but in us. Satan's counterfeit on your hand or on your forehead. Man, I could get a big old mark on mine. I got a big old forehead going on here. Those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. Do you know that? Do you believe that? I believe it with all of my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Those who receive the mark of the beast are sealed and show their allegiance to Satan. Very simply. Refusing the mark is allegiance to God. And again, we won't be here, but if you're still around, don't receive the mark. There's been a lot of discussion. There's been a lot of speculation. There's been a lot of sensationalism, and I promised when I began this book, I would not speculate and I would not sensationalize the revelation of Jesus Christ. And over the years, there's been a lot of discussion, speculation, sensationalism over the mark of the beast and the number 666. All I can tell you is it's coming, and I don't know who it is. In our world today, we see a worldwide increase of numbers for identification. In America, there are some businesses that have given their employees a chip under their skin. And there are some nations in Europe where the population is getting a mark under their skin. It's a chip. Again, I'm not speculating or sensationalizing things, but how close are we getting to the mark of the beast? Especially with identity theft and all that we see going on in the world today. We need wisdom. We must beware. We must stay close to Jesus. The world's going to pressure. The world will even threaten the people. Again, they can't buy or sell or food or anything else without the mark of the beast. Look at the pressure we've seen over the COVID thing, getting the vaccine. Pressure, 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 pressure. You can't go here, you can't do this, you can't do that without the vaccine. That's your choice. That's my choice. Isn't it amazing? People that abort babies say, oh, I'm pro-choice. Until it comes to the vaccine, and it's, you got to do this. Hello? We must put all of our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. If there's a famine, they're talking about that in America right now. Have you heard lately? They're talking about a famine in America. They're talking about the biggest drought in the state of California over the last 120 years or so. What are you going to do if there's no food? You're going to trust in the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, our provider? He hasn't let us down yet, has he? They don't call us Calvary Chapel for nothing. I could probably use a good famine right now. Saw a lady the other day that was out here pregnant, and I said, hey, at least yours is going to go back down. Mine's here to stay. He's going to provide. Again, read God's word. God could make a raven come to your back porch with a T-bone. Or a double-double with grilled onions. Who knows? God's God. That's spiritual food, right? It's got scripture verses on it. Electronically, they're now creating forms of identification with chips. Is that it? I'm not going to say 100% that that's it, but look what is going on these days for identification purchases purposes to buy and to sell. The good news is, again, for the believer, that the rapture is coming. We will not see Antichrist. We will not see the false prophet. We will not see the mark of the beast. We will see Jesus at the wedding supper of the Lamb. What's that going to be like? Can't imagine. Again, I know it. I read it. I teach it. For him to wrap his arms around you and I and say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. In the first place, when he says to me, well done, good and faithful servant, I'm not going to feel worthy of that compliment. None of us are. Do you really feel worthy of your call and your service to the Lord? We all fall short. What a glorious day that's going to be when we shall see him face to face. As we close, it's your choice. The beast or the banquet? There's no in between. Jesus is either Lord and Savior of your life, or you're serving Satan. It's either the Holy Trinity or the unholy Trinity. There's no in between. Jesus told the religious hypocrites, you are of your father, the devil. That's pretty heavy stuff. And so as we close, I want to give you the opportunity. Like I said, I'm just a mailman. If God has spoken to you through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning and shown you you need Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, man, don't push him away. Receive God's greatest gift. A gift is not a gift until it's received. And so you must receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So as we close, if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would like you to stand quickly. We just want to pray with you and allow you to invite Jesus Christ into your heart and be saved today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you that we have been delivered. We have been saved from the things that we have seen in this section of Scripture this morning. We are eternally grateful, Lord. And so this morning, as we come before the communion table, again, it is a reminder that we would do these things in remembrance of you. Your body, which was broken for us, your blood that was shed for us. We need to be reminded, Lord. We're forgetful people. And so this morning, before we come to the table, even as Paul said, we're to examine our hearts and in the quietness of our hearts confess our sin to you. If there be anything that would hinder, pray, Lord, that we would just give it to you and it would be nailed to the cross. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for your precious body that was broken for us and your blood that was shed for us in the new covenant as we do this in remembrance of you. So if we could have the ushers come forward this morning, we'll pass out the cup and the bread and we'll partake of communion together.